Hey, as Matt said, we are John and Meredith Hall. This is our fourth time to give our testimony, but it's been about 8 years since the last time we were up here, and there's a lot to add because life continues. I want to start tonight with reflecting on Scripture and a pattern we see throughout our testimony of blessing, brokenness, and giving. This theme is used in many ways, but mainly to represent what Christ did for us on the cross and what he will do in our lives as well. Matthew 26:26 states, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body.'"
We felt the Lord impress upon us that same pattern of blessing, brokenness, and giving. We've experienced God blessing in ways that have marked our lives. We've experienced brokenness with our own sin struggles and hard circumstances. And we've watched how God has used both of those to form us into his likeness. And we pray tonight that what we say is given to each of you in hopes that it will encourage, challenge, and refresh your own marriages.
And I'd like to take a minute to pray. Please feel free to join me. Lord, our prayer tonight is that you will be honored with our testimony and that our words will only point to what you have done in each of our lives and what you continue to do to form us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we just celebrated 25 years of marriage in August. Yes. And we also celebrated turning 50 and 60. Right?
Ooh.
So this is... Thanks, Tim. This is a picture of us when we're in the same decade. We do this every 10 years. Happens for about 4 months.
Well, let me give you a little background so you can see our big picture. I was born in 1963 and Meredith in 73. At the time of Meredith's birth, my parents were divorced. My dad was absent and had been replaced with a verbally and emotionally abusive father figure. I was a latchkey kid. And for those of you who don't know what that means, I had the house key tied around my neck and went to and from school alone. There was no influence of Christ in our home as my mom ran from the church during the divorce. At this time, I was introduced to pornography. I was being raised by a single mom with three kids on a school teacher's salary. I spent my teen years and most of my 20s zoning out with drugs, alcohol, and being promiscuous. Work was an escape from being home, and when I was a senior in high school, I moved out to get away. College wasn't an option.
In contrast to John, my parents were married for 46 years until my dad passed too soon in 2018. They loved each other, but I wouldn't say that their marriage was exactly the best example for me and my sisters. I did grow up understanding the love of Christ, and our family was faithful to attend church and be very active in ministries. I came home from school to a mom who was there to talk to me and over snacks and stuff like that. She led me to Christ at age 5. I also had a dad who was there all the time, was the one on the front row at the volleyball games and the cheerleading. And he provided an affluent background for us. I spent my summers at Kanakuk learning how to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. I took pride in my obedience to the Lord and his desire to be the best I could for him. I graduated from Baylor University with a degree in nursing and was actively praying in a journal for the Lord to bring me a husband and a house full of children. I think the only similarity between the two of us is that we both had three sisters.
Okay, while Meredith was working in the NICU as a nurse, actively serving in K-Life ministry and going on medical mission trips, I was 32 and going through a divorce. I want to interject here that I don't recommend divorce. It actually took me to a point where I was going to end my life, and I had a plan and a means to do so. I wrestled all night, crying out in desperation, "God, if you are real, will you please help me?" And thankfully, the Lord met me at my need. Through that painful experience in my life, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my life has never been the same. You, on the other hand, are here tonight, and there is tremendous hope for you in your marriage. If you have any questions about divorce as a next step in your marriage, will you please let your leaders know? Watermark would love to walk alongside you. Through this, my life did a 180. I fully understood the verse 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." I began pouring my life into meeting other believers, became a member of a church, and began serving. Dove into God's Word in a discipleship group and found joy in the midst of a lot of heartache. It was at this church where I met Meredith. We spent time together in a large group of close believing friends, serving and doing fun things in groups. It took some time and wooing before she agreed to go out with me, and a year later we were married. This was one fantastic year.
So there we are. Aren't we cute and skinny? All the days. So we were young and we were in love and excited to be testimonies of Christ's love to each other and to those around us. Little did we know that the 10 years ahead of us were going to be a heck of a roller coaster. Shortly after we got married, I was put in the hospital with 70% of my lungs filled with blood clots. And I spent the next couple years going from doctor to doctor to figure out it was the combination of birth control pills and a genetic clotting disorder that caused all of this. Sorry. It was a hematologist that told me that he didn't recommend getting pregnant because it would be life-threatening to me and the baby. I remember leaving the doctor's office feeling very overwhelmed and crushed. I actually went downstairs and called my mom from a payphone, and I just sobbed, kind of like I'm about to do right now. When I told John that night, he was amazing. He was loving and selfless. I actually remember that night really well. So from that point on, we started praying about what next steps would be for our family. But it didn't change the brokenness that I felt about my own health and that the doctors recommended to not have children.
We spent the next several months getting input from other doctors, and all were in agreement that it was best for Meredith not to get pregnant. Even though I watched her deal with the grief of this news, I also knew she had a heart for adoption. We explored this option and began praying that the Lord would open the door for us, and he did. In 2001, our son Rowan was born. It was an open adoption. Meredith was in the delivery room and the first one to hold it.
It was the most surreal experience, and the Lord had put on my heart to pray like Hannah did and for her son Samuel in 1 Samuel 1:27 and 28. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I have asked of him. So now I want to give him over to the Lord all the days of his life. I'll give him over to the Lord. This became my theme verse for this little new sweet baby, Rowan. He was such a blessing like nothing I had ever experienced. However, in the middle of that joy over Rowan, there was still a lot of grief that surrounded me. I found myself really angry at God, and I didn't understand why he was taking us on this journey. As a faithful follower of Christ, I had been so obedient to do all that he had ever asked me. So why was he doing this to me? I started going to counseling, and I started a program that Watermark offered, and actually a good friend of mine started, called Shiloh. Both were very validating of how I was feeling and kept pointing me back to the scriptures and back to prayer. And that really helped me understand that both blessing and brokenness and joy and grief can exist at the same exact time. It was freeing and it was comforting. So then we started the adoption process again in 2003, and it didn't work out. It was more heartache and more grief, and I was even angrier than I was before. And I was taking it out on John with my explosive temper.
And I was growing bitter and cold and zoning out with pornography. During this failed adoption process, I had been asking the Lord to please let us know why we were going through this season. Then during the most stressful time of our lives, Meredith called me at work and told me she's pregnant. I completely let go of wanting to know why and realized God was writing his story. He tells us in Isaiah 26:3 that he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on him because he trusts him. And I completely trusted the Lord, and that gave me peace. For the next 8 months, Meredith went through a high-risk pregnancy with a lot of complications and hospital stays, bed rests, and weekly sonograms. But in 2004, with an OBGYN, an anesthesiologist, seven nurses, and one push away from an emergency C-section, our second son, Houston, was born.
And every one of those people in the room cheered and rejoiced when he arrived. It was really sweet. And then surprise, 6 months later, I'm pregnant again. So in 2005, God blessed us with son number three, George. So there they are as babies, or little. And then there's another picture of them now that we just took over Christmas. So we're pretty proud of them. This 7 years of our marriage, we lived from one major event and crisis to the next, as you can see. We were faithful members of Watermark. We were serving the Lord, serving our family. We were doing everything that we were supposed to. But our sin patterns of anger and John's pornography had created a chasm. We weren't operating as the testimony of Jesus' love that we wanted to be to each other, to our boys, and to those around us. I blamed John for all of our struggles, and I did expect him to fix everything and make me happy, all while I was desperately trying to control him and the boys. As a result, my children were learning to obey based on fear rather than grace and love. And John, well, I would say we just couldn't stand each other.
You could say that. I wasn't communicating with Meredith and expecting her to just know how I was feeling and what she should be doing. With her anger, I continually became more and more passive, and pornography was taking over my life and driving a wedge between us. I confessed everything to the guys in my community group and started going to Watermark's 12-step recovery program, Regeneration.
And I went reluctantly to support John because I didn't have any issues. And I really went to Regen thinking that. Like, I'm just going to support him and his issues. So. Yeah.
Some time later, Watermark started Re-Engage, and after one of our many fights, I told Meredith, I'm not going to live this way any longer. If she wanted this to work, we were going to Re-Engage. To her credit, she mustered up all she had and submitted to my ultimatum.
I was actually sleeping in the guest room when John came in and told me, hey, we're going to Re-Engage. And I really did not want to go, but I did. So just call us the poster children for Watermark's Recovery Ministries, because that's what we are. But in all seriousness, it was through coming to Re-Engage, just the discipline of going through our lessons, using those tools that they provide, and mainly spending time praying for each other, that those walls that we had built up for so long started to crumble. We were sharing our testimony with our small group leaders and the other people in our small group. And in the middle of me sharing, John interrupted. And he was looking at me so intently, and he said, wow, we have been through so much. You have been through so much. And I am so sorry for all the things that have happened to you and the hard things that we have been through. Y'all, when he said that, I wish I could tell you how my heart felt. I felt like the first time in 8 years, he was validating all that we had been through. He was acknowledging the heartache and the crisis. And I did what I'm doing now. I just start crying. It was a really sweet moment. Because of his words, it came from like this humble heart that was open to the Lord's revelation. They just healed me. Like, it was like God just healed me right then and there, from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. It's just really sweet.
Right, so I watched Meredith melt right before my eyes. God revealed to me that where I have always just kept moving through life, no matter what it brings, like a pinball. I had married a very passionate woman who feels and loves deeply, and I wasn't loving and treating her as fine crystal. God showed me in his word, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's in 1 Peter 3:7. I also learned a lot about myself through Re-Engage and Regeneration. I've learned how to communicate better, study my wife, and know her well. I've learned to validate her feelings and care for her, even when it may not always make sense to me. I've remained faithful to be honest about my struggle with pornography and incorporate accountability methods like Covenant Eyes on my electronics, as well as maintain close relationships with the guys in my community who know me well. All these are helpful tools, but ultimately the solution is consistently chasing after the Lord. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing."
So from this season of brokenness came huge blessing. John and I's love for each other was deeper and stronger than it ever had been. It was strengthened by fervent prayer for each other, accountability with our community, and most importantly, abiding in Christ. It was a really sweet time where we just enjoyed each other and our boys. And then the Lord allowed us to give of ourselves and reengage by leading other couples who needed the same encouragement.
Okay, so that catches you up for the first 12 years. Now the next 12 years, because life goes on. And our oldest became a teenager. That magical time as parents when you are no longer the voice of reason in your son's head, but experimenting, friends, and adventure rule the day. This isn't a parenting ministry, so we're going to do our best to focus on the relationship between Meredith and I through these rough years. Our oneness was a real challenge. I didn't know how to lead and guide my changing son, as my opinions didn't matter any longer. Meredith and I sought help for him and us through personal counseling for him, through community, and church ministries involving prodigal sons and the like. Two issues were evident. We weren't on the same page, and we hadn't established clear boundaries for our sons.
So my control reared its ugly head again. I was constantly nagging John to take action instead of spending time on my knees in prayer for him and communicating lovingly about next steps that would help our son.
Well, once I got on the same page with Meredith, we set boundaries, but I often found myself not holding him to them because he always had a great answer. My lack of boundaries with him was creating division between Meredith and me, and that's exactly what the enemy wanted to do, was destroy our marriage. At community, Meredith and I felt like our marriage and family were always in the hot seat. I heard a testimony from someone who felt like they were in the hot seat and who had learned a new way to look at it. If you read Luke 5:18 through 19, it says, "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus." So our community group changed our terminology from being in the hot seat to being on the mat.
The men and women God had placed around John and I were just like those men, lowering their friend into the room to be healed by Jesus. And we absolutely needed our friends, and we surely needed Jesus. I started praying fervently for God to reveal to John what Rowan needed in order to get him on a stable path. And I relied heavily on the strength of our family and community to help carry that burden. So in the middle of this time, God shifted my role a little bit. He opened the door for me to become the nursing director at Thrive Women's Clinic. It's a nonprofit that helps women in unwanted pregnancies to choose life for their babies. It was a huge change for our family because I had stayed home for 15 years taking care of the boys, but it was a wonderful way to use my gifting, but also provided a way for me to focus on something else besides micromanaging John and our son. It was also a time when John was able to work from home, and so it allowed him to be present with what was happening with Rowan. The combination of all these things and all these different factors made a huge difference in our marriage. It put us on a different scale of being on the same page and pursuing oneness as we navigated such a hard time.
As Rowan continued to find his footing, our youngest presented us with yet another challenge we didn't expect. And we started walking that very difficult road with him. Having the experience I did with Rowan, I had learned change is personal and it is up to my sons to lean on the Lord or walk in folly. But as their father, praying and instruction are still something I'm called to do. This time, Meredith and I leaned heavily into the Lord and started being fervent to prayer for all of our sons. We set an alarm for 1:27 p.m. daily to pray, just as Hannah did in 1 Samuel 1:27, which Meredith mentioned earlier with Hannah's prayer for Samuel. Our community and family set their alarms as well. It was so comforting knowing so many were praying for our boys.
So this road our sons with our sons has been a constant reminder that there's not a formula for raising children. It's about giving them over daily to the Lord and creating a safe and loving environment for them to grow in Christ. And it doesn't always turn out how you'd expect. It was also a huge time where I learned to respect John, to honor him as their father, to allow him to lead, even when it was something I didn't want him to do. And that happened, definitely happened. And ultimately, it's up to the Lord to bring our children into a loving relationship with him and to put each other first.
There you go. I also learned the best way I can love my children is to honor and love Meredith as Christ loves us. Mm-hmm. We've entered the empty nester stage of life and are navigating the ups and downs of having adult children. Their choices may not be our own, so we are learning what it looks like to pray for them and give guidance and advice when necessary.
It's a lot easier said than done.
As I said earlier, life goes on. So we are trying to figure out what this stage of life looks like. Mm-hmm. It's easy to settle into watching TV and, I don't care, where do you want to have for dinner each night? But we are working to break this habit.
Maybe we can start doing like dancing lessons or something.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay, sounds good. So that's our testimony. Thank you for listening to us. There's still more to come, right? Maybe we'll be up here in a few years telling you something different. But we just want to say thank you for listening to us. And thank you even more so for being here to show your spouse that you value your marriage and your family enough to work on it. I'm hoping if you haven't learned from our testimony already, that you will come to realize that God can fix this. And it will make you stronger. It will make you better than even before. You have been blessed with a marriage. It might feel broken right now, but with the Lord's help, he can give you your relationship, you and your relationship, new life. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.